Good morning, the West Coast. Good afternoon, the East Coast. And good evening, the Middle East. The Middle East today is roaring, and we started with a prayer to God Almighty to help us solve this crisis in the Middle East that can influence all the global status. Today, we have a very important dear friend of mine, Kevin Cohen, which is a wonderful host in his political show, and I'm so happy to have you here. Hello, hello, Kevin.
Hello, my dear friend. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
We're doing very well in South Carolina of the States. All is well.
How is your new show?
Oh, it's going very, very well. Everything is going great. We're very blessed here in South Carolina, but I'll tell you what, we are very concerned about our friends and family over in the Middle East, and we are praying and having high hopes that that everybody can return to peace very soon.
I know, and the perspective from your side is really different because we on the ground here that having sirens and we have to go in and out of, you know, shelter just to cover, and thank God for America, thank God for Israel, bright, you know, ideas of the Iron Dome. I think that it was the beginning of the idea started with Ronald Reagan when he was trying to protect America. And now we have it in Israel, and God help us, you know, accomplish it. And without this, Israel will be destroyed today. We had so many missiles. I think that it's about 2,000 missiles. We have alerts every hour, and they keep on bombarding us while we are trying to be, you know, very careful with our project there and try to eliminate all those terror cells. What is your perspective on that, Kevin, and from your point of view?
Well, I think if you talk to people over in the United States, the overwhelming number of people, Orly, that you talk with here are very much in line with looking out for the best interest of Israel, which here, the best interest of Israel is just one simple thing, the right to exist in peace. That's all I think anybody in Israel is asking for, and that's all I tell people Israel wants here. It's just the right to be Israel, to live in peace and to flourish and to be a light upon unto nations. So I don't know what the world and why there are protests and why people around the world can't understand how simple it really is. If Israel is just left to herself to flourish, there will be peace. But unfortunately, there are people out there, and you know this better than I, that just will not stop until they see the destruction of the Saturday worshipers and then the Sunday worshipers, the Christians.
Of course. And they, you know, it's the Holy Land. Everybody have to understand that when we're talking about Israel, this is a little tiny country that everybody around it wants to destroy again and again. And every time they accomplished it in the past, they destroyed two of our temples, the land was devastated. There was no life after the Jews. So Israel came back, reflourished it over, and sure enough, you got all those people coming back and trying to destroy it. Now, we have a little, you know, competition with those pictures that they're sending that sometimes they get confused. They send the Syrian battles picture on the media just to make the people look and say, oh, my God, goodness, Israel is killing innocent civilians. But the truth of the matter, we have a very, very difficult task. We need to let the world understand that Hamas is not a civil organization. It's not somebody who tried to accomplish anything for the Palestinians. They are holding hostage 1.7 million in the Gaza Strip and getting all the funds from all over. And instead of investing in the people, they took the time to build tunnels and millions of dollars that the world poor just to destroy Israel. And today we found out that they can get inside with a tunnel directly to under the kibbutz. And there was a very big scare this morning. But I don't know what they're talking about as a final solution. But I understand that, you know, people cannot accept Israel living with a terrorist organization on the border. You know, let me
tell you some of the perspective here in the United States.
Please.
And it's really very frustrating to me because even the United States media is portraying Israel as the bully, as the bully picking on Hamas and picking on the Palestinians. And rarely do you hear the word Hamas even mentioned in the story. All you hear is Palestinians. What the American media and media around the world is doing is making it sound like Israel is picking on some poor people in Gaza, and they don't acknowledge that this has everything to do with a terrorist organization whose very reason for existence is the destruction of Israel. That's the only reason Hamas is in existence, is to destroy Israel. The United States media talked nothing of that. All they talk about is how many casualties are taking place and why is there such an uproar. Don't get me wrong, Orly. Anytime human life is lost, it's a tragedy when it's innocent people, and I understand that and I respect that. But we're talking about 500-600 people that have lost their lives, a great tragedy, no doubt, with innocent lives in Gaza. However, where was the American media? Where's the world's outrage when 100,000-plus are destroyed by Assad in Syria? When will they go after Assad and count him out? And when will they destroy him with the coverage that they're destroying Israel with? You won't see any of that. And unfortunately, in the United States, the president of the United States will draw lines in the sand and claim that he's going to stop Assad, but doesn't do anything. But boy, he sends John Kerry immediately to the Middle East, the Secretary of State, to try and temper what Israel's doing to defend itself.
I know, it's exactly ludicrous because the president Assad just got reelected or something like that. He's continuing to be in
power. 7 more years.
And one of the issues that people were talking in September, we were fighting the idea of to go, you know, the American invasion to Syria, to, you know, that got sabotaged, of course, by the idea that you cannot remove Assad because something else will happen. And yeah, so much chemical weapon that we don't know if it actually got dismantled or not, because they were saying that they're going to throw it in sea, and God forbid who got a hold of that. So the world just forgot about this area, and here you go, and we have an awful attack on all the land of Israel. Kevin, you know, if you came a month ago to Israel, you'll find everybody on the beaches. The businesses are flourishing. They keep the world business going and alive in this dramatic time of, you know, of crisis, universal crisis. They travel everywhere. They never stop, you know, trying to make, you know, to make amazing things. They go to Africa. They try to flourish the land. They're flourishing the land, teaching the Africans how to grow and feed themselves. They're going into Europe and try to build some new technological advance program, and all over, and everything stops right now. You know, the world will suffer the consequence because no business will come from there. And the Jews, you know, they're famous. They're going everywhere and they do good business. I don't understand if in the midst of everything, people actually stop to think what's the value of the land of Israel and the people of Israel to the world. It's an extremely, extremely incredible force of power to the world. It's the engine that keeps it alive. And for some reason, we never understood, you know, they never understood that. And more of that, Kevin, from where I see it and the news that, you know, the people that talk in the representatives, it seems like most of them don't really get the picture of the Middle East. They have no clue. And that's the worst. You know, because
it's
then
tragic.
They're going after
it's very sad. It is very sad, Orly, because what you've got to understand from the American perspective is I believe educated people in the United States recognize that the people of Israel have taken land that was basically desert and turned it into an incredible oasis, have made it into a paradise where you can grow fruits and vegetables, where you can have nature, where you can plant and grow things. And if only the Palestinians, if only the Arab world would try to cooperate with Israel, there could be such less famine in Africa. There could be so much more food readily available. There could be so much better quality of life, less disease. But they don't want to cooperate. They just want to condemn the Zionists. They just want to condemn Israel. And it's so sad and it's so tragic because Israel will share its technology. Israel will share its knowledge if only given peace and only given the opportunity to extend an arm of love and extend an arm of peace. But again, you know as well as I do that this has gone on much longer than you and I have been on the planet, and it will go on much longer than we are on planet Earth, because the other side will not stop unless they can eliminate Israel. That's why in this particular battle that's going on in Gaza, I want Israel to fight, do whatever they have to do to destroy these tunnels, do whatever they have to do to slow down the incursions, and do whatever they have to do to just destroy Hamas as much as possible. The world's media is not going to back off. They're going to portray Israel as the bad guy. Well, as long as Israel's the bad guy, then just do what you have to do and get it over with.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And it's amazing because they have a wonderful shore. They can create some tourism, but they didn't invest the time to create the port that they wanted. And, you know, there are people that from all over that want to come to invest in there. But for some reason, they cannot cooperate with them because, first of all, there is no one leader. The true leader, as they call them, are in Qatar or in the Five Stars Hotel someplace, and they're just playing with the Palestinian people. But you know what? There is one thing that I might think it's a good idea to put in. You know, the United Nations is actually responsible for the refugee camp, and they get billions of dollars every year just to sponsor the Palestinian. They should take an act. They should do something right. They take those Palestinian refugees, because they call it refugee. That's why it's refugee camp that they never dismantle,
right,
and move them along to the border of the Egypt. So they'll be out of danger. And the Palestinians, you know, need to understand that it's their life in stake. And they're letting those people, and some of them say, you know, help us, because they are taking us, they're taking them hostage. So I think that there is a change. There is a mode of change, because Hamas days are almost over. For some reason, I have that feeling that they're going to be finished soon, because they're too much involved. And this piece of land is too important for all the world. And there are gas in the play. There is port in the play. It become an important economic venture to everybody. And I think at the end of the day, they have to see why we're giving people a piece of land to destroy when the world can achieve otherwise. Let's go to a break, and it's really, really good to talk to you, Kevin. I know it's a really hard time to say, and I feel the pain, and I feel the love, and I appreciate it. And Doug, give me a minute, and then we'll conclude with Kevin, because Kevin needs to go. You never told me about your show.
We shall talk, I promise.
All right. Thank you so much, and let's go to a break now. And I put a very nice song for you, Kevin, just to remind the world that there is a great, great world out there, and we should hug and love each other. And you are so special because you spread love so much and you work so hard. Tell me about your show, Kevin.
Well, thank you for that, Orly. My show is on in Columbia, South Carolina, the state capital of South Carolina. And it is a show where we try very hard to engage with callers, whether people agree with me or disagree. This is a new radio station that I started myself, an AM/FM radio station in the state that I had been on in Columbia for 19 years with another station. They let me go after 19 years, and rather than try to leave Columbia, I decided to start my own radio station. So I actually put my house on the line and got the money for my house and put it into a radio station, and I'm living my dream right now, doing a morning program every morning, 6 o'clock in the East Coast, and having just a blessed time, loving taking phone calls and talking to people about different debating issues and different things about politics and our community. and I'm having a wonderful, wonderful time.
And tell me, what do they say? Do they talk about the Middle East? Because many of them don't understand all what's going on, you know? So
certainly,
you get a
certainly.
Lot of
we talk food. About we talk about issues, whether they are right here in our community or things going on in the state of South Carolina. We talk about politics in America, and I am very, very interested in international politics as well as international crisis. And of course, with my personal interest and my deep love for Israel, I make it a habit to discuss what's going on with Israel, to give people my perspective as a Jewish talk show host in Columbia, South Carolina. That's a bit of a unique perspective. There's not a lot of Jewish talk show hosts in the deep south of the United States. So I provide,
absolutely.
I'm very open about my Judaism, and I let folks know where I'm coming from on it. So we talk about Israel. We talk about what I believe is the biggest problem in the entire planet, which is Iran. We talk about what's going on with Iraq. We discuss what's going on lately with an airplane being shot down in the Ukraine. So we discuss a lot of what's going on with world news.
Yeah, absolutely, keeping you busy. One of those days, I'll stay awake and I'll call you in, too. That will be wonderful.
You are always
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you so much, Kevin. I love you. It's always wonderful to talking to you. And I wish you well, and God bless you. And go for your new radio station. I trust you. I believe in you. And I know you're going to be amazing, as always. God bless you, Kevin.
Thank you
so much for coming.
Thank you. Shalom to everyone. Thank you so much.
Shalom. Shalom. And welcome Ed to my show. It's so good to have you there. You're coming and you're calling from South Carolina. We're calling upon you, actually, from South Carolina, and it's the state that I miss and I love, and I had so much good time there, and it's like one piece of a glorious place. Ed, how are you today?
South Carolina misses you, Orly.
Oh, don't say that. That's breaking my heart, you know?
South Carolina is calling you and everybody in Israel to come on over and visit.
Trust me, we can fit in. With the side of the land, we can fit in.
You know, I just had the pleasure. Well, you know Lynn's property, the historic property in Old Town Bluffton, and I had the, I'm going to call it the blessing, to walk beneath these sacred oaks. And I was thinking, you know, everybody calls your place the Holy Land, but let me tell you, when you get under these oaks in South Carolina that are 200 years old, and it feels like a cathedral that God built, if you know what I mean. And it's sacred ground. You need to come back to this Holy Land.
I found God there big time, and the fact that they preserve everything, and I know that right now you are making Bluffton, rebranding it, and how it's going there. You know, I left with you all in the middle of this incredible project to how to show the new South to everybody, because if maybe everybody sees the South from the movies, you know, like Prince of Thighs, like the old fox living in the houses, they don't realize what incredible communities they are building in South Carolina. South Carolina become like the for me, it's Monaco. It's the place where you can go there. I have a boat to, you know, hide away from the world. And sure enough, there are so many important people hiding away there every day. Is it true, Ed?
Important people? We're all pretty much equal in the eyes of God. So we're all important.
Oh,
and honestly, that's what South Carolina can do for you. It's the great equalizer. When you get out into nature, I'll tell you what, when you stand underneath these majestic live oaks, you feel your smallness, if you will. You can't do it without becoming humble. And when you become humble, you know, everybody's the same size underneath those trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned the New South, and I'll just say this. The New South is really emerging, and the central theme of the New South really is those who honestly understand the sacred nature of being the stewards of the old South, and that means the historic buildings. That means the culture. That means the art, the history. That means the 200-year-old live oaks.
Yes, absolutely. And I was amazed when I arrived to South Carolina many, many years ago that there were no lights in the night. And I said, God, you know, they don't put the light on. And sure enough, it's because you don't want to disturb nature. You let nature have his peace, you know, and don't invade his space. And it's wonderful. And I know you, that you love nature so much and make it, you know, making it very, very special for you, you know, especially those farmer markets events that we all like to go and see there. This is stuff like you cannot find any other place. And I've been in California for a long time. I love California. It's a dream place, but it's a place that makes dreams. And I wish that they show more of South Carolina, so actually people can say that they can realize those dreams too. You know, have peace, love, and godly moments when you actually find yourself. You take off all the shells that you built in the world, because the external world does make you use some kind of cover or masquerade. And in South Carolina, you take them all off and you become yourself, and you can be as beautiful as you are, but inside you are much better. You know, God gave you a soul to nourish. And once you touch base with that, your soul is happy and you become happy. That's the balance that everybody's seeking. And in South Carolina, you can find that, you know, by the shore.
You can find it. You know, you mentioned the farmer's market. And I'll just tell you that it's impossible to carry any pretense into the farmer's market, because it's just too much of a down-home celebration, and everybody's dressed casually, and you're elbow-to-elbow with the farmers, and you got children running around, and, you know, you got Farmer Joe singing to you when he puts the okra in your bag, and you're getting okra and vegetables that you can't get anywhere else. You know, you mentioned California. You know,
right.
And you get the history and the culture. You know, I ran into Sally Mae Robinson, who's a Gullah chef. She actually grew up on Dufusky Island, and she went to the one-room schoolhouse where Pat Conroy, you know, you mentioned Prince of Tides.
Right.
Pat Conroy taught in that one-room schoolhouse, and she just lives and breathes this Gullah culture, Gullah Geechee culture. And she started coming to the farmer's market and, you know, going on a tour, bringing people, showing them how to, she picks out the different vegetables, and then going down the block and having a cooking class, and then sitting down and everybody eats together. And when you're, I don't know, when you're that organic, when you're that steeped in history and culture, when everybody's eating together, again, I'll just call it the great equalizer. Everybody, all pretense fades away.
Absolutely.
And happen to think it's a very beautiful thing.
Yeah, because you find yourself, and you're actually, the true nature shows up. And that's what's nice about that place, that, you know, you can actually run into, you know, Publix, and like happened to me a few months back, and say, you know, going to Bruce Willis, that was walking alone, you know, and I didn't even talk to him because I didn't disturb him. And he was like, huh, nobody's talking to me. I said, no, you know, I'm waiting for something else. And that's about it. People come, and that's why they say that the president, Bill Clinton, used to come every year to Hilton Head Island just to relax. And sure enough, he needed that relaxation. I don't think this president come to visit, does he?
No. Actually, when Clinton came back in the 80s, they called it Renaissance Week. And
right.
He actually had a conference of, let's just call it, thought leaders from all over the world. And they got together in this environment because they really felt that it was stimulative for them to be around nature, to be on the beach, to be out by the ocean. And they felt like, you know, I really do believe that the environment can positively affect the outcome of your conference and your conversation. So I have to ask you, Orly, the purpose of our conversation, it seems we want everybody from Israel to come visit South Carolina. Is that what we want?
No, I like to keep it that way. You know, you don't want the Israeli because they sure enough will start business all over the place, and you know they'll start running as ragged. You know, here if you think that the South is slow, you don't know how fast is Tel Aviv. New York is fast, but Tel Aviv is like a heartbeat. You know, faster. It's amazing because they have a different kind of tour. Their tour is to be light upon nations. It means that they enlighten other people with other things. It's a duty. They have to come and do stuff, and they feel it, and they're obligated to the mission. It wouldn't be, you know, it will be nice if the Palestinians decide to make peace with us and they won't send a terrorist organization and the leaders to try to destroy this wonderful land, because it is the holy land after all, and this is something. And you know, if you think right, if you look at the map, you know, Ilbenad is directly across from Jerusalem on the map. So it's really something that you have to understand that maybe it will be a good place to have a conference, a peace conference, not like a Camp David.
Oh, there you go.
To come and talk to the people. It will be nice. You know, I started a convergence in 2006 there. I got a few people, but I put it in Savannah, Georgia. I put it right next to it because they have a wonderful, wonderful center. We need one there near in Hilton and Island, so we can use maybe the Marriott or something, but it will be nice to come and talk. Anyway, Ed, this is a wonderful thing that you come on my show, because this is a new thing. And what I'm trying to do here is to spread some love, caring, and understanding and show that even with your... Tell me.
I was going to say, we all love Israel, and we all pray for peace every single day.
Absolutely, amen. And we hope that we can see each other together, happy, and maybe we can put one conference in Hilton, and that will be a wonderful, wonderful idea to renew the Renaissance, but not Renaissance, something else, I guess. Anyway, Ed, thank you so much for coming on my show. I love you dearly, and I miss you so much.
Love you
and I
too.
Hope that, thank you.
God
thank
bless
you,
and you hope- Orly, and blessings on your show.
Thank you so much, Ed. God bless you. God bless South Carolina. Miss you. Love you. Take care, and let's go to a break.
Okay, bye-bye.
And I'm back, Orly Benny Davis, on this Impossible Truth show. It's really the reality of life that we have to face. This is the time where we are together, thinking together, and people from all over can understand that there is a big conflict that we have to settle. We are smarter, we much enlightened by the network, and all the ideas are pouring. There's so much to give, so much to build, and so much to pray for. And only through Brotherhood of Men we can do that. And it's not a cliche. It's not something that people just say. It's the heart that comes to play here that say, you know, it's enough, enough. You want to destroy this heaven that we created. Of course, we made mistakes. Everybody made mistakes. And we have to overcome our differences and understand that together we can be as a world. And, you know, many times when Einstein were talking about global government, he never explained, you know, in details what he meant. Well, not that I could understand everything he was saying. Of course, maybe he did, but I didn't follow all of it. But I know that his intentions were good to the world. And for some reason, he thought that we need somebody to coordinate it, like a circle of people, not behind the scenes, circle of good people that can come from a good place, good livelihood, that wants to give back to the world and with their wisdom. Like the people that come on my show, they are people that love the world. They are tender, they are kind, they're honest, and the only thing they care about is to have the world go on in peace. Now, we have Iran in play that doesn't want to settle. And this last attack in Israel just gave me a very, very strong feeling that it's like Pearl Harbor of Israel. If people think that this is an easy task, sit here by the siren, by the bombardment and the missile that they're sending in thousands trying to destroy us, and see, you know, this blanket of God's protection that gave us the chance to overcome this. They can understand that there is a bigger play in the midst, and it's not there to control. It's not ours to decide. There is a God, and it's not us. And we need to start listening and understand that the nature that God gave us is holy. The people that God created are holy. Everything that's in this world is a magic. It's a magic of God's creation. And the music that can penetrate to the heart the beauty of it, everything is magical. It's because this world is so fantastic, and it's such a cosmic place where we all now share each other information. You can hear me from miles away. I can talk to Doug, bless his heart, from, you know, California. I'm in Israel. It's a different time zone, and we're still talking in the same language. We understand the same purpose, that we are here. We want to make a difference, and it's going to be, it takes what it takes, but we'll make it. Like Kevin Cohen took his heart to the right place. He wanted to talk to the people and make a change, make a difference. Ed does it every day with the people and what he represents. He knows he's been through all. He knows it all, and he doesn't want it. That's the famous sentence we have in the South. You know, I've been there, I've done this, I don't want it anymore. So we've been through war. Israel is, again, at war. Doesn't want it. We've been there, done that. We don't want it anymore. Now get the dogs out of our back. You know, we need to have some tension here to understand we don't want to destroy this garden. This is the Holy Land. If God wants it to be, let it be. It's much stronger than us, much smarter than us, and he overcome us, that's for sure. So if we think that we can be smart of this one, I have the news to you. Nobody is. We are all a player. The world is a stage, and we need to play a part. So let's make our part without destroying the other, because sometimes down the road, you need that person. And before you know, it comes again to you. So just remember, happiness is something you choose to be in. Happiness is a road that you take. Global quiet, peace, and harmony is something we accept. Let's try to spread the word. Let's make it happen. Let's go to break. And, you know, many people ask me, what are the keys to success? Because success is something that you achieve, obviously. It's the product of your being. And success in our movies, always we're saying, you know, you get the house, you get the wife, you get the dog, you get the kids and the car, and you set you free. But what about the meaning? What about the meaning of everything? What about what you put inside? How can you create and happiness inside? And people ask me, and I said, you know, you have to dissolve the ego that cover you. Like we spoke before with Ed, the ego is something that really obstructs us. It makes us stubborn. The stubbornness on getting our way always, my way or the freeway or the highway, that they say it in America. And I like that one, you know, but I never realized that it's really something that it's not real, it's not good, because you have to go with without the ego about what is right, and you have it in yourself. You have the right and wrong. You settle it. You build your blueprint. You make a plan for success. The success is in your reach. It's only if you just grab it and make sure that you don't have other ideas, you know, about the grandeur, what a player you're going to become. Just do your share. Take us one step at a time and make a plan ahead for a long time so you have the alternative. You know where you're going. When your road is clear, life is clear. And my vision right now is for the Middle East is really simple. It's so simple that I can understand why the Palestinians don't stop fighting and just listen for a minute. And, you know, I'm nobody, but I'm somebody. And my place in the universe is my place in the universe. And I know God bestowed upon me this moment in time to give it to you and to tell you that we have no fight against any other human being. Jews are a chosen people to have the duty, responsibility to give you what you think it's important, you know, enlightenment. And the enlightenment comes because God chose us. I can't argue with God. You know, it's a really, really hard work. The idea is just come together. Let's sit together. Get rid of those weapons. It's enough. By shooting, by killing, it's enough. We sold so many arms in the last decade that I can't even imagine what we're going to do with it. Somebody wants to blow it. And it's funny that Hamas is using the money to buy weapons, and we in Israel have to use the weapon that we get from America to blow it. So I think that the most successful people of this decade was the arm factories. Those are people that sell weapons. And I have no problem with carrying weapons if they're concealed and if it's responsible. And, you know, when we do it, I don't like the fun part of killing animals. That's not my deal. But I don't care about, you know, NRA, and I don't object to the Second Amendment. However, I just think that we sold way too many of those. And they're taking power, they're taking control, they're taking the funds, they're taking everything. So we gave the bastards the key to the safe. So let's reverse it. Let's dismantle arm. Let's stop fighting. Let's stop hating each other. And let's get back to work. Let's plan. This is the planet. We cannot destroy it. We need to work together. Africa is in shambles. Europe is settled. It's like frozen. Nobody does anything there. We need the engine to start working. Give us peace in mind. We can carry it through. Just give us the chance. And, you know, but all these things we have to remember. God of Israel is God of Israel. Every other God is, you know, whatever other belief, it's their belief, and it's honest and it's true and it's wonderful. But God of Israel has the right. God of Israel had two temples here and they got destroyed. We want to build a third temple someday, sometimes, with peace, with love, so it can carry all the world to come and worship together. Say hallelujah for God. And this is from Israel, the all land, the place that is was in war. And I hope that tomorrow we wake up to another day of peace and harmony. God bless you all. I love you all. And please stay tuned. We have many, many other guests coming that will tell you the enlightenment, how beautiful the world can be. Thank you so much. And thank you, Doug, for being there for me. Thank you. And have a great, great, great day, everybody. God bless you.